You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. Now, whether you're stocking your first kitchen or adding to your growing collection, it's sometimes hard to know which kitchen items are right for your personal cooking needs. We talk to the authors of The Ultimate Guide to Kitchen Gadgets, from wooden spoons to espresso machines and everything in between. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your must-have tools, appliances, and gadgets in the kitchen? Do you have a brand that you always trust to do the job? What's your favorite kitchen item to give as a housewarming or wedding gift? And what questions do you have for our kitchen gearheads? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lisa McManus and Hannah Crawley are executive editors for America's Test Kitchen and co-hosts of ATK's Gearheads on YouTube. They're co-authors of the new book, Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. Hannah, welcome to Central Time, and Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
So Lisa, yes. Yeah, glad to have you. Lisa, whether we're moving into a new place, our first place, or downsizing, sometimes it's hard to know what we need in our kitchen and what we can safely leave out. So my question is, what are the absolute musts, the absolute kitchen essentials that we have to have to cover most of the bases?
Well, we really think about it in terms of having a few pieces that will do different multiple things for you. So I would say start with a good 12-inch skillet, because you can always cook less food in a big skillet, but not the other way around. We love cast iron. That's a good all-purpose skillet. We love a Dutch oven, which is a big pot. At least 6 quarts, 7 is fine too. That gives you a lot of flexibility in cooking soups and stews or doing anything really big. We bake bread in that. We deep fry in that. So the pieces that you choose really give you some flexibility. You want a really good chef's knife that's nice and sharp, a good cutting board, gives you plenty of space to chop things. And really that's, you know, with those couple of pieces, you can really start and build from there.
Hannah, what do you think about single-use gadgets like apple corers or potato mashers, things that are just for one thing? Do you think they're worth the space, or could we accomplish the task without them?
I think if they're worth it for you, they're worth the space. Like your examples, for example, Lisa has an apple core that she loves and uses every year, and it brings her absolute delight in the fall. So I think that's worth it. And also, like potato mashers, for example, we do different things with potato mashers. So I think that sometimes you can think creatively, and they're not actually a one-hit wonder. And part of our book is talking about getting more use out of quote unquote single use gadgets and seeing what else they can do for you, so you don't end up with a lot of clutter you're not using and you use the tools you have.
Hannah, give me a couple of examples. Like, what can you do with a potato masher besides just smash potatoes?
They're actually great for making guacamole. Believe it or not, they can mash perfectly, but not too finely. Especially if you have one arm, which I did when my arm was in a sling and found this out.
You found out the hard way then.
I did. It was worth it, though.
Lisa, I'm going to ask you, what are there things that are really just a gimmick? Things that you can safely say, no, forget it. You just don't need that.
Oh, boy. Of course, I can't think of a thing right in this moment. you don't really need chopping devices. If you have a good knife and you keep it sharp and you have a cutting board, you don't need all kinds of specialized choppers. There's so many things on the market just to design to not have you use the knife you already have.
Hannah, what are some new or trendy kitchen items? Any new essentials that you've tried that you really like?
New essentials. Well, I think we are all so into these indoor pizza ovens that can get like professional pizza oven temperatures, like the Breville Pizzaiolo and a new model from Uni. And they're just so fun. And the pizza they make is incredible. And it's just like a reason for a party too. I love that. Like, I'm like, come over, I'm making pizza. And you can really personalize all the pizzas. On the other hand, they are $1,000. Lisa and I are going to do an upcoming, I know, right? An upcoming episode on Gearheads of these two. There's really two top models in the game right now, one from Breville and one from Uni. So we're going to battle it out in an upcoming episode of Gearheads called the Ultimate Battle of the $1,000 Pizza Ovens.
Do you feel like those prices will come down eventually when more manufacturers come out with them?
I sure hope so, but I do think they're also pretty pricey to get something that can sit indoors on your countertop and get up to, you know, 8, 9, 1,000 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty cool though. I mean, I've seen some videos and oh boy, it's on my want list, but man, it's so steep. Lisa McManus and Hannah Crawley are executive editors for America's Test Kitchen. They are co-hosts of ATK's Gearheads on YouTube, co-authors of the new book, Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. Is there a kitchen gadget that transformed your cooking regime? Call in 800-642-1234. So Lisa, if we're going to shell out big bucks for an appliance or item, pizza aside, are there items where cost really does equal quality?
Very, very often we can find things that have some of the qualities of the top priced items that are more affordable. But occasionally you do need to spend a little more. We've tested a lot of food processors, for instance, and, you know, our favorite is around $200. You can get a cheaper one, but they really don't perform on the same level. Blenders, we have a mid-price blender in the $200 range. When you get around 100 and less, they're just, you know, big counter decorations. They don't do anything. Yeah. They get stuck right away. So sometimes you got to pay a little more, especially if you're doing a lot of asking a lot of that appliance.
Yeah. Hannah, what about the opposite? Where are there some high-end versions that are really just the same as cheap ones? I mean, where you could save money by, you know, just opting for the less expensive version. Is there a certain appliance that comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind isn't an appliance necessarily, but like a good kitchen knife. For example, our winner from Victorinox is about $40, and you can find gorgeous knives that, you know, get into several hundreds of dollars, and trust me, they're fantastic, and I want one too, but this $40 knife from Victorinox does a heck of a good job, and so I don't think you have to spend a ton to get great performance on a knife.
Sure. Hannah, we have some Facebook comments that came in. Jacqueline said that her hand crank pasta maker was a waste of money. Do you think those hand crank pasta makers are worth it?
It's funny. I have one. I love it. I haven't used it in 2 years, so I feel her pain. I think it's like, oh, they sure are fun. If you use it, it's worth it. Again, like if you use it, it's worth it. Me, I still want mine now that I have it. Someday I'll have a pasta party, but like, no, I'm in the same boat. I'm not using that every weekend by any means.
Yeah, exactly. I know I have one too, and I've only used it once, but I loved it when I used it. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, for gearheads like you two, is probably unrealistic to stick to just the basics. How do you manage space in your kitchen to store it all? I mean, this is something that I struggle with, trying to find where to put everything.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we do have some tips for how to store things. One thing I'll say is if you want to use a cast iron pan more, don't put it on a low or high shelf. Keep it on the same level as your stovetop, and you will be able to grab it and move it there more easily and use it more often. We have ways to organize your spices, your utensils, and a lot of it just comes down to keep the things close to you that you use really often. And things like that pasta roller that you're only going to use a couple times a year, don't have it in a primo spot that you have to reach past to get the things you use every day. So really think about the core of what you're using and build out from there.
And Lisa, I also want to ask you about cast iron. Why is cast iron so popular still? I mean, it's something that has been around forever. What makes it so superior in your opinion?
I think two things. One is the reason it's been around forever is that those pans are durable. You know, short of like, I don't know, running it over with a tank, they won't break. There's nothing going to happen to them. So many things that we buy in this world wear out, and a cast iron pan won't if you treat it with just any kind of routine care that just keeps it in good shape. But even if it gets rusty, you can scrub it, oil it, heat it, and go back to using it. The other is that it's real thick material that is super heat retaining. So if you want some beautiful browning, whether you're searing something or you're baking something in it, like cornbread, or if you're searing a steak, you can get fantastic color on your food because it will retain that heat and then radiate it back. And it's a beautiful pan, and it will last forever, and it's not expensive.
Right. Sometimes you can find them, you know, at a thrift shop or a flea market for next to nothing. But I guess my question is, what's the best way to take care of it? Hannah, how do you keep those cast iron pans clean? You know, this isn't something you can throw in the dishwasher.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. You know, I've learned a lot from Lisa over the years. She really is our cast iron expert. And I think my favorite thing I've learned from her is that you don't need to use a ton of oil. You know, so with a cast iron pan, after you use it, you want to wash it. You know, just a scrub brush and water is usually sufficient. You can use a little soap if you need to. And then you put it on the burner to warm up and dry off, and just like a teaspoon of oil, and rub it all around, and then leave it on the stovetop to dry. And I've learned that from Lisa, and it really works. And my cast iron pan is probably definitely my most used skillet.
Lisa, what other things can't be thrown in the dishwasher besides cast iron pans?
This is my endless stump speech. It's like, don't put things in the dishwasher that don't have to go in there. Because the dishwasher is a very harsh environment. So never put bladed tools. Your knives should not go in there. Your vegetable peeler, anything that you want to keep sharp, don't put in there. Because the long time that it stays hot and wet and this strong soap is going to just degrade the edge. You also don't want to put anything that's wooden in there. Wood is a natural material. It will soak up that water, and then as it dries, it cracks. So you're going to shorten the lifespan of anything wooden. Cookware doesn't really need to go in the dishwasher either. And if you, you know, put it in there, we found some pans really get very degraded by it. A straight aluminum baking sheet will turn darkened. The edges of a stainless steel pan may erode a little bit and become sharp.
Oh, I do.
You know,
that.
You just really want to pay attention to what you're putting in there. Use your glassware, your dishes, your silverware in there. But a lot of the cooking utensils, set yourself up to comfortably and quickly wash them by hand.
Yeah. And I'm going to admit right now, I do that. I am lazy. I do that. So, but I'm not going to do it anymore. We're with Lisa McManus and Hannah Crowley, executive editors for America's Test Kitchen and co-hosts of ATK's Gearheads on YouTube, talking with them about their new book, Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is there a big ticket kitchen item that you think is worth the price tag? How about an item you regret buying? Is there a seemingly silly gadget you have in your kitchen that's actually quite useful? What's your desert island kitchen item? The one thing that you just, desert island kitchen item, the one thing you just couldn't live without. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post it on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up this conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Lisa McManus and Hannah Crowley, executive editors for America's Test Kitchen. They're co-hosts of ATK's Gearheads on YouTube and authors of the new book, Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. We're talking to them about how to select, use, and maintain your kitchen equipment. You can call in at 800-642-1234 if you have an item in your kitchen that has held up throughout the years or even decades, or have a question you'd like to ask. 800-642-1234. Hannah, usually when we're in the kitchen, we're dealing with heat, right? I mean, I'm wondering, which materials should we be mindful of not getting too hot, whether it's in the oven or on the stove or microwave? And which materials can withstand the highest heat?
Great question. We do a lot of thinking about this. And especially right now, I'm sure that folks have heard, you know, just in the zeitgeist, concerns about plastic. So we are very cognizant of when a product has plastic on it or in it, and nonstick, like what is layered on your skillet and in many, many things in your household, inside your ketchup bottle, on all sorts of utensils, all over the kitchen. That's a thin layer of plastic to prevent things from sticking. And you don't want to get that too hot because it can off-gas. And it off-gases at around 500 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's when there are fumes coming off of the pan that are not good for you to ingest. So you want to be really careful of anything that has plastic. And on the opposite side, you can take carbon steel and cast iron, you know, take those as hot as you want, put them on the grill, put them on the stove. You can't put them in the microwave, but mm-hmm. other than that, they are really versatile and super, super durable.
Let's go to Megan from Appleton. Megan is with us now. Hi, Megan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm looking to get my mother an immersion blender. She's got pretty bad arthritis, and so I'm looking for something that's ergonomical and will be great for when she's canning applesauce or pureeing soups.
Oh, okay. Well, Hannah, do you have any recommendations for Megan?
Yeah, we love the Braun. Actually, we do quite a bit of testing looking at diminished options for folks with diminished hand strength as well, because that comes up for sure. So I would check out the Braun. I would also, you know, see how where the trigger button is to turn the product on, you know, make sure that's in a comfortable spot where she's got some strength going for her. And, you know, definitely check out our review and I can send you over something separately for her of the best option there as well. And this is all in the book too. I think there are a lot of products that require certain angles or certain wrist or hand or arm strength. And we try to consider that too in testing. We'll have lefties and righties and folks of all different abilities because we're all so different. So we want to make sure we find tools that work for everybody.
Thanks for that. That's really interesting and a really, really good information. I'm glad Megan called with that. Let's talk with Dave now. Dave is calling from Madison. Hi, Dave. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a glass top stove. I think they're becoming really common right now. And to my great annoyance, the first time I used cast iron on it, it scratched it. So I can't use cast iron. That's really sad. I do sometimes use my Le Creuset, you know, Dutch oven. I'm real careful with it. And then I also find with my older Revereware pots, they're not flat bottom, so they rock and roll and don't really heat very well. So I guess I'm looking for, you know, what do I do? What are my good substitutes, or am I missing something in the way I'm using cast iron? I'll take my comment off the air. Thanks.
All right, great. Lisa, how about you? What advice do you have for Dave on the cookware?
With more people getting glass top electric stoves in particular, the flatness of the pan is kind of important. You can use your cast iron, but again, you probably know this, that if you pull or drag or move it on the glass, you can scratch it. If you're doing things like using a heavy cast iron pot or pan, lift it gently, place it, don't slide it back and forth. Don't drag it across the surface. If you want to work with those that cookware that isn't quite flat, you can basically add a little more oil and give the pan more time to preheat. You're going to give it several minutes to let that heat spread through the pan so it's less dependent on full contact with each spot of the bottom on the surface. And that will help mitigate that uneven bottom of the pan on that very flat top. It's unfortunate that it's so common because it's not a really great, glass is a terrible conductor of heat. And I know it looks sleek, but it's not the greatest way to cook. have it now. Mm-hmm. And it's not a great stove design, I'll be honest. But the way to work around that is give your pans time to preheat fully. Maybe use a little more oil and let that will convey some of the heat through it and carry it out a little bit better than if you're trying to use just a little tiny patch of oil, because it will not transmit the heat as fully.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice on that. Appreciate the call as well. John is with us now from Wanakee. Hi, John. You have a favorite gadget you want to recommend. What is it?
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. Have you guys ever heard of a Rotato?
A Rotato.
A Rotato.
I don't think I have.
Lisa, Hannah, no?
No, it doesn't sound familiar. What is it?
It's one of those gizmos that you see on TV, believe it or not. And I don't know, I picked it up at Bed Bath or Beyond or something like that a while back, started using it, and then they discontinued them. I went and bought two more because I liked it so much, just to get the blades for it. Essentially, you stick a potato on it, and you put the little arm on it that has a blade, and you crank it, and you turn it, and it does a beautiful job of peeling apples and potatoes and anything that you need to peel. It's super easy. I've actually taken a potato and peeled and peeled and peeled and peeled and peeled until it's a half an inch in diameter, and all those shavings make great hash browns. It's a really ridiculous little tool, but I love it. It's the greatest thing. And I have a Braun full immersion blender, and I love it.
All right. Great advice. Thanks, John. We'll have to try that. I appreciate it. We've got about a minute left, and I just want to ask, I mean, your book has this helpful gift buying guide. I'm just wondering if there's a can't go wrong gift you recommend for weddings or housewarmings. Lisa?
I love our favorite little salt cellar and a box of Malden's flaked salt. It's a wonderful little way to, especially for housewarming. It's a beautiful little square box with a cedar lid that stays open so you can reach in with one hand, and a box of beautiful flaked Malden salt, which is great on salads and all kinds of things. I think it's a nice little gift, and they're so pretty.
Briefly, Hannah, do you have a favorite, a can't-go-wrong gift you recommend?
Sure. Well, for a wedding, if you're going to splurge, of course, a Le Creuset Dutch oven is a fun choice. For like a housewarming or something like that, I love to gift a quarter or an eighth of a sheet pan. It's such a funny little gift, but you can tie like a cute bow on it and, you know, give it to them with a bottle of wine. And they will call you in a month and be like, I use this thing every single day.
Fantastic. I want to thank both of you, Lisa and Hannah, for joining us. This has been a great discussion.
Thank you so much for having us.
Lisa McManus and Hannah Crowley are executive editors for America's Test Kitchen. They're co-hosts of ATK's Gearheads on YouTube and co-authors of the new book Kitchen Gear, The Ultimate Owner's Manual. They talk to us about kitchen equipment, how to choose it, how to use it, and how to make it last. Coming up Monday on The Morning Show, the new Wisconsin State Toxicologist at the State Laboratory of Hygiene joins to talk about the lab's public health and environmental focus, along with issues facing labs around the state. Also, the State Capitol Report happens on Monday as well on The Morning Show.